Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozugoz.
The answer lies in the heart of the internet.
Yes, yes, indeed it does.
The answer to what though?
The question lies in the deep rainforest, so...
Yeah. Oh no, I'm never gonna know.
In today's episode, we're talking about Street Fighter IV, The Ties That Bind, aka Street Fighter IV, Arutanaru Kizuna, an OVA released in 2009. I chose this one because there's actually a few Street Fighter things that we need to eventually get to, and this was a short one. It was produced by Studio 4 Degrees Celsius, I believe that's how it's pronounced, the studio behind, well, nothing noteworthy. It's all bits here and there, including a segment of Batman Gotham Knights, something in Halo Legends, and apparently several bits of the Animatrix, so anthology stuff. They've done some game openings, the odd co-production, really not a notable studio. Street Fighter IV, The Ties That Bind, currently has a MyAnimeList score of 6.23. This is based on, surprise, surprise, Street Fighter IV, and set before the events of the game, which was developed by Capcom and released in arcades placed on the PlayStation 3, on the Xbox 360, and on PC between 2008 and 2009. My summary of this OVA is, Ryu has the power to kill, and the new bad guys in town want that power for themselves. Artura, what do you have?
I didn't know that killing was a power. Fighters have gone missing ever since the previous year, and now what seemed like a chain of disappearances and kidnappings might just become a conspiracy of megalomania.
Angles?
When famous fighters get fighters, and some other fighters fight to fight, fighters gonna fight.
On the streets.
Sure.
Street fights, come on, man.
There's no psycho power and there's no magical trucks. Oh my god, and Bison is for driving the isekai truck that everyone is getting killed with.
Using his psychopath. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But that was one of our early episodes. Congratulations to long-time listeners who understood that reference.
In the first Street Fighter anime, it ends with M. Bison trying to kill someone with a truck. And I assume that they get isekai'd. That's the only thing that could happen.
Well, for The Ties That Bind, we open on an animal roar as a flash of energy discharges across the rainforest, affecting animals as it goes. Some soldiers with bad accents and awful lip-syncing are watching on a monitor. They finally include Cammy in the conversation, and wonder who could be altering the data they're seeing from a private satellite, or their own satellites. It's really unclear. Cammy suggests that Shadaloo might be behind it, and leaves. Then we cut to somewhere, where Chun-Li is asking for information on a missing person who used to teach martial arts. The police officer asks what brought Interpol to town. Chun-Li answers, and this is a direct quote, "What if I told you this was happening all over the world? Would that satisfy you?" And leaves, absolutely not answering the question.
Ah, typical Chun-Li.
What brought Interpol to town? Well, shut up.
I mean, that really is the best answer, right? No, you.
What brought you to town? Yeah, you don't have an answer, do you?
Guile is waiting outside in a car, and the pair talk about the case. Apparently, famous fighters started vanishing last year, and they suspect that Shadaloo is behind it. In fact, Guile won't believe that M. Bison is actually dead and not behind it, quote, until I see it. So he wants to see M. Bison's corpse, I assume.
That's understandable. Psycho power and dumb.
He cuts to a Chinook, where the bad guy we're meant to assume is M. Bison is on a video conference with some scientist. Apparently, to perfect the weapon, they required him, aka Ryu. It takes a couple of minutes to actually show us a picture of him. But
But let's be real, he's the protagonist. We all know.
I mean, yeah, we knew it was him as soon as they said him. They need the power within Ryu, the Satsui no Hado, to bring the Bleach project to fruition. So we cut to Ryu up a mountain, as usual, screaming. As not as usual.
As usual. Oh, okay.
And then we get the titles. We open back on Ken in an elevator being talked to about his day by his personal assistant. He's evidently a corporate executive of some sort. He's interrupted by Maya, a freelance journalist who might have broken in. She does the right-wing thing of pretending that he's triggered by her not having an appointment, despite his tone and demeanor being absolute calm. She says that Ryu wouldn't be so upset about not having an appointment before leaving. I hope she dies.
Typical Karen.
Yeah, that's my note. I hope she dies.
Well, you're not wrong.
In his office, Ken thinks about Ryu and Akuma. And I don't know why I bothered including Akuma, because like, he appears twice, kind of.
Twice with an asterisk.
And how Ken has himself has got a job and a family, and then gets to work. So we go back to Kami and the soldiers who are investigating the explosion site. One of the soldiers finds a shallow grave, apparently. We just see a black caterpillar with red spots, while Kami apparently sees corpses and is all gasp. We cut back to Ryu, who is now in a desert, laying on the ground, where he hallucinates Akuma's voice taunting him about his Satsui no Hado. He thinks about the past, where he trained alongside Akuma until the day he killed their master, and then calls out Ken's name. Meanwhile, Ken's wife, Eliza, is in a store buying baby supplies, where Maya finds her. Eliza asks how her husband is, because she never sees him, and they go for coffee. We go back to Guile and Chun-Li. It seems that Kami has been keeping them in the loop, as the missing fighters and explosion are related, because the bodies they found are those very same missing fighters. On a plane, Kami talks to a scientist about the animal carcasses they also found in the rainforest, as the water in their bodies appears to have just boiled. He had a very distracting Welsh accent. At the master's house, Eliza places a doll that Maya gave her, and it obviously has a bug in it. And then we immediately cut outside to Maya, where she's listening in and spots a guard, who runs off before she catches up to him and clobbers him. Maya calls the guard's boss, which is the big bad, to confirm that they're working together and to get rid of any more spies that might be tailing her. She's keeping tabs on Ken because she's after Ryu and knows that the pair will eventually meet up. Back in the desert, Ryu dies.
No.
Well, nearly, because he somehow gets more energy and gets up, continuing his walk. Elsewhere, Guile and Chun-Li break into a secret underground facility and find one of the missing fighters being experimented on. They're also joined by Kami, and after doing some hacking, return to a hotel.
And I want to mention Guile uses Sonic Boom while moving forward. That's impossible. That's you can't use Sonic Boom while running forward.
Save it for the was it a good adaptation section. From the files that Chun-Li hacked, we discover that BLEES stands for Boiling Liquid Expanding Cell Explosion.
Psycho power?
Which you can kind of understand why they shortened it to BLEES.
I thought it said bleach first, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
The files go on to explain everything about Ryu and his Satsui no Hado and how they need it for the BLEES. They decide to turn to Ken for help finding Ryu. So we cut to the master's house, where Eliza has finally managed to be in the same room as her husband. She tells him that he never smiles and isn't laid back anymore, despite all of the smiling we've seen him do. There's a crashing sound in another room, and Ken goes outside to find Sakura, who had beaten up his guards. The masters feed Sakura, and she explains that she's looking for Ryu. And then Chun-Li calls and says that they're about to drop around, because they're also looking for Ryu.
God damn it. Imagine how much it would suck to be Ken and just being the side character.
Ken, long time no see. Where's Ryu?
Yeah, basically.
How's the fountain? No, I don't actually care. Where's Ryu? Tell me.
Ken, I know they're kidnapping people, but do you know where Ryu is?
He owes me $5. Sakura then tells Ken about the missing martial artists, and Eliza slinks off dejectedly. We cut to Ryu in a bar/cafe called Caribbean, and a biker happens to mention that his friend is a fighter who had gone missing, shocking Ryu. Back at the master's place, Sakura finishes explaining things, and then the biker calls Ken, asking where Ryu... No, having received the phone number from Ryu, and explains the situation. Maya, having listened through the bug, overhears where Ryu is and calls the big bad to tell him. Ken and Sakura also set off, and Ken calls Chun-Li on the way.
To ask where Ryu is?
Where are they? Where are they, Joker?
Where's Ryu, Joker?
You know it's bad when even Batman is Ryu's side character.
Okay, well, fun fact, Street Fighter is currently having a crossover comic with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has had 3 crossovers with Batman.
Oh my god, they're canonical in the same universe.
Yep. At what I assume is the local beach, Ryu is looking into the disappearance of that biker's friend when Maya bursts through a door, attacking him. Nearby are some people with monitoring equipment, and the pair fight until Kami interrupts just before Ryu unleashes his Satsui no Hado. Kami gets groped and loses the fight, so Ryu goes Super Saiyan.
That is very accurate, but you forgot to mention that Maya uses psycho power to fly.
No, they're jets in her boots. I was about to write psycho power, and then it's like, there's air coming out of her boots. Oh.
Yeah, right, before she groped Kami, I was like, well, that's more important.
Yeah, that's very, very suspect piece of animation where she goes for her tit.
Okay, kind of spoilers for later, but there's 2 parts of this where boobs are involved. There's Maya grabbing Kami, and later Eliza, when she's running through the ship, you see her boobs bounce. And it's like, why have either of these things been included?
It was at this point it became surprise non-nudity.
I mean, the last Street Fighter thing we watched had nudity in it.
Enough to be disappointed or proud.
Ryu attacks Maya, who exclaims that he's going to kill her, and apparently Satsui no Hado means killing intent, so mission accomplished, GG, Maya. Ken arrives and Maya punks out before Ryu destroys the scanning equipment, becoming bulletproof in the process as the people at the scanners shoot at him and the bullets just bounce off. Sakura gives Ryu a hug, which cures him, while Ken checks on Kami, getting her on a helicopter to the hospital.
I mean, to be fair, hugs can cure all.
Yeah, that's... like, I can confirm that, yeah. As someone who never got one, that's why I'm always sick.
At the master's house, Chun-Li and Guile have finally arrived and explain their findings. This scene is interspersed with cuts to the Big Bad's office, so I've not mentioned the cuts in my notes. We cut to the Big Bad's office where he's explaining the Bleece to Maya for some reason. He's upset that Maya failed, and she suggests that he helps capture Ryu himself. And honestly, I thought that he'd shoot her for that.
I was expecting the same. Maybe it's, we've been really exposed to super evil villains, but I was like, oh god, she's dead. Oh no.
Later, Maya calls Ken and, having apparently kidnapped Eliza, invites Ken and Ryu to a boat party. So everyone goes to the boat, Chun-Li and Sakura disguising themselves in slinky dresses for about 40 seconds, long enough to knock out the 2 guards before changing into their outfits from the games, which were hidden where exactly?
You really don't want to know. Prison wallet.
Ken and Ryu get aboard a different way and split up. And Ken almost immediately confronts Maya.
And oh, then no. They take off their dresses.
And then Ken asks Maya where Ryu is. Nothing comes of it, and Ken frees Eliza, and she reveals that she's pregnant before they escape.
This was so out of tone. Like, are you kidding me? This is really the moment. Really, this is where you decide to tell.
Well, I mean, we knew because they didn't have a kid, and she was buying baby supplies earlier, so.
But still, like, you know, she's just been kidnapped. And maybe it's because it's the only time she can actually see Ken, but still, oh my god.
Hey, Ken, you remember a couple of months ago when we slept together? Well, I'm pregnant now. So I'll see you when the baby's born, I guess. elsewhere, Ryu heads to an auditorium, which seemed strangely out of place, in a boat, and confronts Seth. Who looks like a cyborg M. Bison. Seth beats the tar out of Ryu, breaking his arm and then his spine. But Ryu gets up and monologues at Seth before doing something to power up and Kamehameha-ing Seth.
Did you seriously skip the egregiously long monologue by the villain?
Yes, I skipped that.
Ken was like, it's finally my time to not be the side character. That's why he didn't let anyone help Ryu.
Seth's people come in and drag him off, but the others don't give chase as Ryu collapses. However, outside, the US Coast Guard is out in force, but a Shadaloo helicopter swoops in and rescues Seth. Aboard the helicopter, Seth is greeted by Vega and Balrog with a message from M. Bison. So Gar's going to be upset that M. Bison is not dead. Back on the boat, Ryu passes out, surrounded by the others. Later, Cammy, Guile, and Chun-Li are pondering about how this felt kind of pointless because it's all being covered up. Elsewhere, Seth is on the phone with Maya, telling her to find out more about the Kamehameha wave. Then Maya gets a call from her boss at the CIA. She's undercover!
No, what? Okay, to be fair, I didn't see this one coming.
Yeah, I kind of wondered what her deal was. Elsewhere still, Ryu says bye to Ken and Eliza, and then we get the credits with some...
I can only assume they hugged Ryu to fix his spine and get him from the coma and then the hospital.
And there's a post-credits of Ryu and Ken sparring, which we already saw back when Ryu was in the desert, so... That was pointless, other than giving us the game logo. And I couldn't help notice that there were 11 seconds of studios credited as in-between animations. Like, it scrolled for 11 seconds just for the in-between animation studios. It was... I'm sure we'll talk about the animation in a second. So, was this a good adaptation?
Well, according to Gorse, no. Go on, Gorse, now you can say it.
It was fine. You just can't do the sonic boom while running forward.
I don't think it's a good adaptation because there wasn't much fighting and most of it happens either off screen or super close up, so we can't really see it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, don't get me wrong. I like the story. I like the fact that there were, like, you know, the characters. But the fighting was missing. Like, I don't think there was a single memorable fight.
Yeah, fighting wasn't great. I think for me it was mostly the characters.
Yeah, and screw any of the new characters. We're focusing on classic characters. And Maya.
And Ryu. Where's Ryu? I'm just kidding. Ryu basically pulls a Goku in this one. Everyone tries to do everything for him. He comes in and finishes the job.
With a Kamehameha.
Yeah.
That's not Spirit Bomb, no. Or whatever that movie's called. Kaioken?
No, Kaioken's when he powers up before he goes Saiyan. Before he goes Super Saiyan.
Oh, did he learn that on his own? Kaioken?
No, well, yeah. He thought of that move all by himself. Don't let King Kai hear you say that.
What about solar flare? Sorry. It's off topic. It's Dragon Ball's abridged jokes. Also, last one. I'm M. Bison. This is my trucker hat.
So, was this a Yeta, a Nani, or a Baka Azura?
Although it wasn't a great adaptation for Street Fighter, I actually thought this was Yata for me. I quite enjoyed the animation, I liked the characters, I liked the story. I think it's a good movie, I wouldn't say it's a good Street Fighter movie.
And Girls and Girls?
Yeah, let's say it's a Yata.
I gave it a meh. The animation was really bad, the colours are flat, the lip flaps are flipping awful. Like, people are talking with their mouths closed and not talking with their mouths open. I've seen less reused footage in a bridged series.
That
monologue that Seth was giving, it's just the same 6 frames of animation for 2 minutes, and they put different effects on it.
It had reused footage?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you make good points, but I'm sticking strong with my Yata. Maybe, hopefully.
I don't care enough to change my vote.
I'm not saying you guys should change it for me. It was a Nani.
Yeah, for me, I quite liked it, but you did bring good points. The monologue was like, oh my god. I swear to you, in triple speed, it was still really bad. Every time we're doing the anime podcast, I rewatch it at triple speed to kind of like keep up with you. And it was still going by the time you had finished.
Just the monologue. You started the monologue at the start of the podcast.
Basically, yeah.
So does it deserve its My Animalist score of 6.23?
Yeah. I mean, you bring a lot of good points again. It has, like, that monologue. The monologue alone just brings it down, like, a lot.
Yeah, that score sounds right.
I think it's too high. We've watched things with lower scores that were better made.
No, I think that score is on point.
Like Galarian's Rion?
Yes, like Galarian's Rion.
The score is fine because it has Ryu in it and he's wandering and making observations about life and shit. I always feel that like Ryu is it would be a cool uncle to have.
Yeah, it's a good point.
He just comes into town once every couple of years for a day or two.
I mean, it would just be fun to hang out with him.
So I researched a little bit after this to see kind of like understand better what I had just watched. And I really like how Ryu's color that is not the, I don't remember the name, but basically their Edge to Kill. When he fights against it, it's pink, which is the color that appears in Street Fighter 6 and the ones he uses and symbolizes him on the Your Story trailer. I just thought it was a really cool thing that, sure, it may not have been done on purpose, but I really appreciated the change nonetheless, the consistency.
Okay, that about brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for joining me, Arthur and Gozagos.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.